I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9, and I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Luke chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 12. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at this. Now, this is our 2015 annual emphasis. So for the whole year, we are focusing on spiritual maturity. For the whole year, everything we do, every act, every event, everything that we put in place, everything that we attempt to do is focused on that right there, spiritual maturity. Then at the end, at the very bottom, it says, are you growing? That's the question I want you to ask yourself every week. One of the reasons that I gave up Facebook, and I was talking to Donna about this, is as I was sitting down reflecting, I'm not talking about you, I just threw your name out there, as she is searching her MacBook going, what video can I watch while preacher is, I'm just kidding. It's New Year's, lighten up people. So as I was looking at, as I was processing all of this and putting this together, one of the things that God smote my heart about, and I mean grabbed hold of me and gave me adult shaken syndrome. You get what I'm saying? This is what God did to me. And he said, John, listen to me. And I went, God, I'm listening. He said, you are in the same place now, spiritually speaking, that you were last year. You haven't grown. I went, because I couldn't argue it. Because I've allowed so many things to fill my plate that spiritually speaking, I've not grown. I'm not farther ahead this year than what I was last year on knowledge and understanding and wisdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? Because many of us have grown in so many areas, but if we haven't grown spiritually, then you wasted a year. I mean, you really have. You go, no, it was a good year. If you didn't get closer to God, it was not a good year. It was just a year. When you get closer to God and your understanding with God is deeper and your wisdom is deeper. By the way, if you go to Proverbs, don't now, but if you go to Proverbs chapter 8, that's all that whole Proverbs is talking about is the wisdom of God. What does it look like? What does it entail? How can we have it? What I'm telling you, a wonderful chapter. And so if you're not closer to God when you read that chapter and you can compare yourself and look at your life and go, okay, here's where if you're not closer to God, you've missed it. You missed the whole year. How many times have you sat back and go, man, did I throw away time I wish I could have back? Yeah, isn't it the truth? And the older you get, the faster time goes. Amen. Have you noticed that? Like the calendar, you look at it as January, you look at it as Christmas. And you're going, where did the year go? Time just flies by. And so really what we got to do is we have to capture the moment and make the best out of it. And some of us, to be quite honest, you're just throwing your life away. You're either in a pity party, you are focusing on things that are wrong, that are not beneficial, that are not healthy, or you're focusing on things that may be healthy, but it's just not good because you've left God out of it. And what's happening is you're throwing your life away, and then the next year, New Year's resolution comes around, and guess what? You have the same resolution you had last year. Well, if you got the same one you had last year, did you really do anything about last year? Or are you just kind of staying where you're at? Are you stagnant? Are you just not growing? And you go, I wish there was more to life than this. And you're not happy with your life? That means you're spiritually not growing. I read I was reading an article last week, and it said that, you know, so many of us act like that we have, when it comes to pursuing God, it says so many of us fail to serve and fail to pursue God, but we act like we're already successful with it. How true is that? We go out and we think, hey, I'm religious, that's good, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is you haven't even started to serve God because you're too busy serving yourself. Too busy caught up in things of making other things your God. Maybe it's your children, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your money, maybe it's you. Like maybe you are your own God because that's who you serve the best and the most. But by the way, this whole year, I'm not looking to make you happy. I'm looking to make you uncomfortable. Okay? I mean, I'm going to try and do it with humor. I'm like going to say things that I know sting and then I'm going to laugh like it's anesthesia. You know what I'm saying? Just so that you feel like, wow, that was good. Give me another. What was that? There was one movie. Thank you. Thank you. What was that you said?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, so you know what kind of movies they watch. And so, any rate, they this is why people don't raise their hand when I ask questions. I'm just saying. So guys, that's this whole year. Spiritual maturity, are you growing? Am I going to make you uncomfortable? I hope so. Are you going to get upset with me? I hope so. Because you know what? When you go, Pastor, you really irritate me, that means I did my job. Right? Amen? Some of you are going, I'm finding a new church next week. And the visitors are going, I ain't coming back. No, keep coming back. Keep coming back because, you know, the truth is if we're going to go and grow, then there has to be an abrasiveness somewhere that causes us to grow. If we stay comfortable where we're at, we will stay where we are at. My favorite quote of all times, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if I thought of it myself because it's really so good, or if I got it from somebody. Happy New Year. I know. Or did I get it from somebody else? I really don't know. I really think I thought of this one because I was talking to somebody one day and they were crying and moaning about their situation in life and I go, well, what are you doing to change it? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. There's nothing I can do. Okay. And then this was my response. We will never change what we are willing to tolerate. Did you grab that? We will never change what we are willing to tolerate. And so if you are happy sitting in your little cesspool of sin, you'll never change it. If you are content going, well, it's been this way forever, I'll just die with it that way, and you're willing to tolerate it, you'll never change it. And what happens is it brings on more frustration, more irritation. It brings on a sense of failure. It brings on a sense of depression. And then all of a sudden you think, this is life and I'm going to live in it. This is all there is to offer. But the truth is, we control our destiny. How do we control our destiny? We find it in Luke chapter 9. How many is in Luke chapter 9? We're not putting any passages on the board or on the screen today. I want you searching through your Bible. Luke chapter 9. And Luke is in the Old Testament, as you guys know. And today's a good day. And they didn't even put extra shot of espresso in my Starbucks, so I'm a little frustrated with that. And I'll have to go back because that was an extra $3. And okay, it wasn't, just so you guys know. My daughters go, I don't remember paying that much. It's because you didn't pay for it. All right, 9:23. Oh, God, I told you guys I'm going to try and use humor today. A little anesthesia right before I cut you. All right. Luke 9:23, here's what it says. Then he said to them all. Well, who is them all? Specifically to the disciples. Okay, he's talking to the disciples. He just fed the multitude. They went up on the mountain to be alone. The disciples came. They're with Jesus. And Jesus is looking at them. And he says, hey, who do they say I am? And of course, they say a prophet or Elijah come back from the dead, blah, blah, blah. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then Peter goes, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And so that leads up to this right here. In 23, he says, then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So what I did was I broke this down really simple. It is pursue. That's just, if you desire me, let him come after me. So Jesus says, you need to pursue me. What does that mean? Pursue literally means to go after in a length of time to overtake, become a part of, to become, to grab hold of, to capture. And so what Jesus is saying is, if you desire to me, you got to come after me. You have to pursue me with a desire to capture me. See, just a little bit different than what we normally think. We think, oh, you know what? I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Jesus loves me just like I am. Oh. Yes, he does. But he doesn't want you to stay just like you are. Don't just stay in it. Listen, Jesus loves me. That's my path to sin, because I'm going to heaven, because once saved, always saved. And now that Jesus is my Savior, I can do whatever I want because I'm going to heaven. Okay, so I don't get a crown, but I'm still in heaven. What a horrible attitude. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, it says pursue God, pursue righteousness, pursue to be Christ-like. Go after Jesus with the idea and the intent to capture him. That means you can't sit still. You can't just stay where you're at. You have to be growing. You have to be going after. Listen, I am up to here with the social gospel. I am up to here with Jesus loves me just like I am. And Jesus is all about love and love. And you're not loving me, Pastor. Happy New Year. Right? I mean, come on, guys. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you. And you got to be saved to go to heaven. You got to be born again, as John says in chapter 3. And if you're not, you're not going to heaven. That's love. I just told you the truth. Mm-hmm. That's love. So he says here, listen, for spiritual maturity is in Luke 9, 23 and 24. That's where we're going to be at all of January. We're going to break each one down. Pursue, deny yourself. I figure we'll be low attendance that day. Take up your cross. And I'm prepared for it. We'll probably meet in the fellowship hall and everybody have coffee. I'm just having fun. Visitors, God bless you. I'm just having fun. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Those are the four things that break down this passage. And so Jesus says here in 23, Luke 9, 23, if anyone desires to come after me, if anybody desires to pursue me, this is what it's going to look like. And guys, this passage right here is the key to success. It's the key to spiritual maturity. It is the key to getting to the next step. It's the key to saying, you know what? I'm not going to stay where I'm at. I am going to move forward. I am going to get into a new life. I'm going to grab hold of Jesus. I'm going to live for him and quit living for myself. That is deny self. So many people can't, what? You want me to forget about me? I'm self-made. No, you're not. How did you get born? Somebody else was involved. I see. You are not self-made, and you are not self-sustained. And so what we got to do is we got to pursue God. And we're going to, listen, I'm going to challenge you guys to the core this year. I am going to, just call me coach. Amen? Because I'm telling you guys, I am not going to let you sit where you have been sitting all your life. I am going to push you to go to the next step. Because if you don't get to the next step, then guess what? You're not of much value at this point to Jesus, are you? And you go, oh, Pastor, that hurts. But that's the truth. You say, well, I love Jesus. I was on Facebook before I gave it up. And one of my last huge debates, because, you know, I responded on a friend of mine's Facebook page. I know when they see my responses, they're just going, oh, not him again. I responded, but man, I was so professional and I was so nice, and somebody jumped in there and accused me of being hateful and attacking and judgmental. And I went, wow, I'm amazed. And I knew who did it. Like, we were friends, the one who jumped on me. And I went, man, you know what amazes me most is you're a Christian and you're attacking me for saying what Jesus said. Why don't you tell him he's wrong? Why don't you tell him he's full of hate? Why don't you tell him he has issues? Why don't you tell him he's judgmental? Why don't you tell him? Because you know what? He said it a lot worse than I did. Wait until we get into Romans. Holy smoke. Romans chapter 1, coming out of gate, Jesus does this. Doesn't he? And you're sitting there like, I got it. Romans chapter 1, and then we got 27 other chapters to go to just get that. I mean, I'm telling you, man, Jesus says there is a point where you have to die. There is a point where you have to make the decision to pursue me. You have to make the decision to do right. You have to make the decision to get rid of sin. You have to make the decision to change your life. You have to make a decision. And so many of us are waiting on somebody else to make the decision, and if they don't, they've offended us. The insanity of our society and the way they think anymore is unbelievable. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what my goal is, to get you here to spiritual maturity. This month we're unfolding Luke 9, 23 and 24. February we're rolling into Romans. I figured I better build a nice, solid platform for you to stand on rather than just throw you in the water and say sink or swim. So that's why we're in Luke right now. All right, so now I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Many of you have heard this passage before. I've preached on it before. And I'm going to preach on it again, because we need to be reminded. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I could tell I wasn't feeling good. You know when you don't feel good and you're coming off of it, but you're feeling like much better because you can actually breathe and stand up without passing out? But I feel like I've run a marathon. I took the dog outside. And this was like right on the verge of just getting over that whatever crud I had. So I take the dog outside. The dog's legs are only that long, so it's not like he can run far fast, you know what I'm saying? It takes him 18 gallops for my one step. And so we go outside and he wants to run around, so I went outside and I ran around. I'm like crawling into the house. Take the dog, I'm dying. I mean, I was so out of energy. And I feel the same thing happening today. But I don't have anything to share but the Word of God. Amen. The sickness is somewhere else. Praise Jesus. I hate whoever got it, but man, I'm glad it isn't me this week. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. How are we to pursue God? How are we to pursue righteousness? How are we to pursue a honorable life before our Heavenly Father, before our Savior Jesus Christ? How is that to look? What are we to do? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 really tells us what we're to do. In 12:1 it says, therefore, because of everything I just said prior to 12:1, that's what the therefore is. Remember, I've told you before, whenever you see a therefore, you go back and see what it's there for. And that's what we got to do. And so therefore, he's saying after everything I just said, well, chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It's all about great faith and the patriarchs that showed great faith and that did great things because of their great faith. And then he goes, therefore, in 12:1, therefore, if you have great faith, therefore, if you're a child of God, therefore, if you're born again, therefore, if you're a Christian, whatever terminology that you want to use, this is going to apply to you if you love Jesus Christ. If you don't love Jesus, if you're not born again, if you don't care, if you're just here because your grandmother made you be here or your mother made you be here or your dad threatened your life, if you're just here because of that and you go, I don't love Jesus, I don't even like Jesus, look, I don't even know Jesus to say whether I love him or like him, so this doesn't apply to you. I'm just being honest because you're not going to heaven and it's really going to be hard to do the things of God when you don't know the God you got to do them for. Okay? It's hard to do with what you don't have. So in 12:1, he says, therefore, because of all the faith, because of everything I just talked about, the faith, therefore now, let's apply it to you. Therefore, we also, since we are, and this is how you know it's written to Christians, because some would argue it's written to anybody and everybody, but it's not, because the author of Hebrews is saved, is a child of God. And we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. Some say it's Paul. Some say it's not. It's too intellectual for Paul. Not because Paul was silly, but because Paul just didn't write like this. I have a tendency to believe that it was Paul because Paul used sports analogies in all of his writings. And so this could easily be Paul's book because we are going into sports. And Paul, listen, Paul was a sports fanatic. Like, how many here are sports fanatics? Amen. I got a few more extra hands. Let me just throw this out there, though. Paul never let sports get in the way of church. And so, I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there. He says, therefore, we also, and by the way, Paul got rid of the TV. Therefore, we also, some of you just got weak in the knees. Can't get rid of TV. Therefore, we also, since we see that we is inclusive of the author. So we know that this is from a Christian to Christians. The word we makes it inclusive. And so therefore, we know it's not to the lost person. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, some believe that the cloud of witnesses are those who have went on and are in heaven and they're able to look down and witness what's going on. I'm not going to argue that. Because I don't know. Some say it's because, listen, we're surrounded by everybody that's around us that's witnessing our walk. I'm not going to deny that. But here's what I do know. We're being watched. You are being watched. People are watching you with your testimony and your walk. And if you say, I love Jesus, but you don't act like it, then do you really love Jesus? Now, that's the question going on in my head, so I know it's going on in somebody else's head. We got to watch not to judge, but brother, when we don't see any fruit, we can make a good judgment, amen? And somebody says, I'm a Christian, but you know, it's like walking around going, hey, I'm an apple. I'm an apple. See my little stem, blah, blah, blah. And somebody's got to go up and go, dude, you look more like a pine cone. Are you sure? I mean, we got to pay attention because we ruin our testimony. We have a cloud of witnesses that are watching what we do, and you have to hold on to your testimony with integrity. But then he goes on. He doesn't leave it there. He says, listen, this is what pursuit looks like. He says, we're so surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, and then the first step that we got to do to pursue God is let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. If we're going to pursue God, we got to look at the things that are getting in the way. We got to look at the things that are putting on the brakes of our spiritual maturity, of our walk with God, our closeness with God. We got to look at the things. And you say, well, how do we know that? Well, you know what? If there comes a time when you're just sitting there and you go, okay, I need to read my Bible. And then all of a sudden you come up with a better idea and you go do that idea instead. That got in the way. If you say, well, you know what? I need to pray. Let me spend some time in prayer. And then you jump up and you go to do something else. That got in the way. These are things that you need to set aside because they're obviously dominating your walk. How many remember Pastor Brothers when he was here and preached a few years back? He was sharing a story with me one time. He said, John, he goes, I was sitting doing my studies and I was really just kind of in prayer and reading and studying. And he said, he showed up. And I go, he showed up. Who's he? He said, the Holy Spirit was in that room. I believe it was Jesus, and I could sense his presence as if I could see him. It was as real as if you and I were sitting in the room. I knew God had visited me right in my office while I was studying. And he said it was so captivating. And I sat there, and I didn't know what to do. And he said, all of a sudden, I reached up and took a drink of my coffee, and that quick, he was gone. He said, I allowed my coffee to get in the way of my visit with Jesus. And see, we think God loves us, he understands, he forgives us, it doesn't matter what we do. I'm telling you, a simple drink of coffee ruined the visit. How is it that we cannot expect to be looking at things we shouldn't be to ruin the visit? Doing things we shouldn't be doing to ruin the visit? Thinking about things we shouldn't be thinking to ruin the visit? I'm telling you, God loves you the way you are, but he doesn't keep you the way you are. And your sin that you hold on to pushes him out the door. That sin that so easily ensnares us See, it's going to be different for each and every one of us. Some of us, it might be the same. Some of it might be a different of intensity or a different level. But I'm telling you, there's things in your life that you have to let go. And if you don't let go of them, you're not going to grow spiritually. And you're not inviting Jesus into your world. You're pushing him out. And you say, I don't like that. Well, you know what? I don't like truth that hits me with it like a hammer either. But if somebody doesn't say it, how are we to move? How are we to grow? How are we to get past those things that take us down? So the first thing that we see here is let us lay aside every weight. What is slowing us down? You know, some people say, I'd serve and I'd give to Jesus if I didn't have this financial burden. I just got to work all the time. Well, that's a weight. Not necessarily a sin, but it's a weight. It is a nagging, drawing, pulling weight. Like it's a weight, and it's just pulling on you, and it's pulling on you. You go, this is uncomfortable. Then get rid of the weight. Not because you're bigger than me either. Get rid of the weight. Man, what is it? What is it? Listen, I'm going to tell you, you know what? You can go swimming. And eventually, if somebody put enough weight on you, you would start going under, wouldn't you? Have you ever done that? You're swimming and somebody come up, a little kid get on your back or something, and all of a sudden you're like, whoop, 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 you're starting to suck for air. You got to get rid of the weight if you're going to live. And that's what he's saying, get rid of that weight. Get rid of the weight. And it's not just the weight. And there's a specific difference we see here. Get rid of the sin. You guys know what it is. Who knows what? Listen, I know what's in my life, and you know what's in your life. And if it's sinful, get rid of it. If it's taking the place of Jesus, get rid of it. And then he goes on to the second one. So the first one he says here, if you're going to pursue me, you have to get rid of the weight. Because you know what? Listen, the runners, and he's talking about the Olympic Games here. And the interesting thing about the runners, even back then, they would run, and they would run naked. And do you know why they would run naked? Because they didn't want anything to slow them down. And some of them were so intense on winning and getting rid of weight that they would even have their spleens removed because they believed they didn't need it and it was added weight. How crazy is that? But they were that intent on pursuing the crown at the end of the race. Guys, what would happen if we would be so intent to pursue Jesus like we pursue the things that we want in life? What do you think would happen to society? I'm telling you, we wouldn't have a government like we have. We wouldn't have a lot of things that we have that are destroying our system. Do you know why? Because Christians would be taking a stand. We're not taking a stand because we have learned to tolerate the weight, and so therefore, why change it? Guys, I'm telling you, we got to make some good decisions. And not just for 2015, but I'm talking for life, man. I'm talking not just for your life, but for your friends' life, your loved ones' lives, those who are watching you. I mean, we've had people, you think people aren't watching you? We would be in restaurants and we pray before our meal. We hold hands, we bow our head, and I pray out loud. And let me tell you something. When I get to the end, I want the whole restaurant to know who I just thanked. Now, that's just me because I'm obnoxious. But I do. It's in, like, I'm like, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you. Lord, I ask that you bless the fellowship. Lord, I ask that you bless this food. And Lord, just be with our meeting today or be with our time together today, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm like way down here and I'm like, Jesus. Why? You know what? But people watch us. And Norm and Nancy, who's not here today because they're backslidden, they all right, they're in Colorado. All right, come on. Do you know how they started coming to the church? Because we went out hanging door hangers, and because they're not technically knocking on the door. They're paper, they don't make much. All right, and so we're hanging them up, and we get done. We go to KFC, and we bless the food. And you know what they did? They came over, and they go, hey, we seen you guys praying. What church do you go to? We're being watched. We are being watched. So at any rate, we need to lay aside the weight. We need to lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us or takes us away from our real purpose, which is glorifying Jesus Christ. And then it says the next step. And let us, look here in 12:1, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. Why is it that the minute we get the slightest bit uncomfortable or inconvenienced, our endurance is out the window? I don't get it. It's like, oh, this isn't worth it, man. I'm not getting anywhere. Whew, I'm leaving. And we just walk away. But at our job, man, if we want a promotion, we got endurance for days. In a relationship, if we want something special, we got endurance for days. Like, if we really want something, we have endurance until it's done, until we've bought it, until we've purchased it, until we've gotten there, until, I mean, listen, we're like, I can do it, I can go. We have endurance for days, but yet when it comes to running the race of Jesus Christ, to running the race, and I'm telling you, guys, let me just say this out loud. Being a Christian is not the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. Amen? Anybody with me on that? Holy smoke, man. We got into a battle. And see, I know why Jesus didn't tell me. See, he didn't sit down and go, okay, John, listen, here's the cross, and I want you. I want you to come to heaven. And I love you, and I died for you. Amen. And that's all I got. And I went, I'm in. Pew. And so I give my life to Christ, not just because he died for me and I love him or he loved me, but because the Holy Spirit grabbed me. I'm just trying to make my point here. But what if he would have said, hey, John, listen, I died for you and I want you to go to heaven, and I'm the only way that you're going to get there, and so you have to receive me or believe that I am the Savior of the world. But let me just tell you this. The minute you make that decision, you're going to get a lot of enemies. Be most of the world and Satan and those who you thought loved you and those who you thought were your friends, and you're going to find out they didn't really love you, or they love you, but now they don't love you as much. And those friends that you had, they're not friends anymore. Don't worry about them. But they were, you know, listen, let them go. They were just that weight. And so listen, and by the way, and you're going to feel like you've been punched in the ribs and in the face about, 10 million times between now and the time you die. Every time you say the name of Jesus, somebody's going to look at you with scorn, and you're going to feel uncomfortable, and you're going to go somewhere. And listen, by the way, you're going to be the minority when you're among the majority. And so if you say Jesus in public, that pressure is going to come on. They're going to look at you and you're going to go under pressure because you're going to like, how am I supposed to say Jesus? If I say Jesus, they're going to hate me. And I mean, oh, and by the way, you might be persecuted just because of me. I know you didn't do anything wrong, but that's just kind of how it works. So suck it up and deal with it. And so here you're a part of it, right? Oh, by the way, you're going to get your behindy handed to you on a platter sometimes. And your mom's not going to agree with you. She's going to think you're crazy. And your spouse, if they're not saved, they're going to think you're insane. And your children are going to think you fell off the funny wagon. And your employer is going to say, oh, I used to love hanging around with you, but now you need to be quiet because I don't like what you have to say. And if you, by the way, if you say it again, you're fired. And so all of a sudden now my whole world has got to be controlled when I'm in the majority. How many would jump on that wagon? Maybe that's why everybody just keeps it at Jesus loves you and he loves you just the way you are, and you just come to him, and if you believe it, you'll receive it. And so if you want to be rich, you just got to believe you're rich because he's already blessed you and he's waiting to give it to you. You just don't have enough faith to get it yet. But don't worry, you'll grow into it. And if you offend somebody, just apologize. It'll be okay. Man. That's why people jump on that easy believism. I wonder how many is really saved. You know, Jesus says there's going to be many, many, the multitude, the majority, many who say, but Jesus, I cast out demons in your name, and I did this in your name, and I did that in your name. And he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, because listen, here's what he says. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? This is what he says. For I never knew you. Not, I don't know you. I never knew you. Why? Because you were never saved. Why? Because you believed in this little, I don't have to get change my life. I don't have to grow. I don't have to mature. I don't have to do anything because Jesus loves me just the way I am and I can do whatever I want to do because that's the freedom of salvation. I'm going to tell you, Jesus says, I never knew you. How many have ever, as you're growing, I don't know what parents do today, but I know when my mom, when I was growing, and I'd go, my leg hurts, my arm hurts, and this is her favorite saying. It's growing pains. It'll go away in a few days. I could be dying, it's growing pains. And then I'm like, no, Mom, you don't get it, it really hurts. And she says, it's too far from your heart to kill you, now go play. I'm not kidding you. That was my mother's favorite saying. Listen, if you didn't come to her gushing blood, I mean, you could have been bleeding. If it was tolerable, go play. If it was gushing, we had to deal with it. I fell down a hill. In front of our house, we had this hill that was like, whew. And you know how you start running, and it's a good idea. I mean, you're running, and you're going downhill now, and then your head kind of gets in front of your shoulders, and then your shoulders kind of get in front of your waist, and then your waist kind of get in front of your feet, and then you're not running anymore. And so I did this. I'm running down the hill. We're having this race. It's a gravel, a gravel road that goes down like that. And in the wintertime, everybody would take, because I lived in Ohio, and so everybody used coal furnaces or whatever in their basements, And we didn't have the convenience of the propane and the natural gas and all that. We had an old coal furnace, which was everybody on our street, I think, except for one rich snob. But anyway, so what we'd do is we'd empty out our furnace and we'd take them outside and we would fill the ditches or throw them on the road in the wintertime so that you get traction. So everybody, we didn't have plow trucks that went where we lived. We lived out in nowhere. And so this is what we did. Well, come summertime, nobody goes up and sweeps the street. So those cinders are still there and the gravel and all that. And while I'm running, and I fell and I And when I fell, I landed right here, flush. And when I did, it snapped my collarbone completely in half. And so you could see it sticking up out of my shirt a little bit. And so I go, and you could tell my uncle was from the same loins as my mother, because I go and I sit down, and I'm crying. I'm like, it hurts. And he grabs me by the wrist, and he goes, there ain't nothing wrong with that. It moves just fine. Meanwhile, it's going, and so I'm trying to like get away from him. I'm trying to escape because of the pain. I'm 8 years old. And then my mom comes in, and I mean, I am bawling at this point because he's already rubbed a half inch off of my bones. They're never going to connect right. And my mom comes in and she looks at me dead in the eyes. I mean, like, she gets up on me, she's going, he's really hurt. We think we better take him to the hospital. So at 8 years, and inside I'm going, yeah, I am really hurt, and it hurts. So they take me to the hospital, and I get all fixed up, And I don't know where I was going with that whole story. But the whole thing is, guys, we need to go with endurance. We need to work through it. We need to keep going. We need to keep on keeping on because it's not about us. Let's go on because the clock has not slowed down as I have sped up. And so, And the last thing we need to do, so the first thing is we need to lay aside every weight. The second, we need to run with endurance, guys. Run with endurance. This isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. So hang in there. And when you're tired, take a little rest, get some water, and then go back at it. But we have to stay in there. That pursuing is a constant moving forward to obtain. And it's going to take persistence. It's going to take endurance. You're going to have to decide that you're not going to quit. And then the third thing, and I'll finish with this. As we lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, as we run with endurance, not giving up, not settling for less, not going, you know what, I'm going to come in 120th out of 10,000, that's not bad. No, you don't want 120th. You want to run because we all run to receive the crown. Endurance, hang in there, keep pushing. And then in verse 2 it says, as we do this, we have to be looking unto Jesus. And I love this. It's not just Jesus like you could misinterpret it as Jesus. It's not just Jesus as in Jesus who. There were many named Jesus back in that day, by the way. It wasn't like Jesus is the only one named Jesus. There were many that were named Jesus. But look what he says here. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus who? I love the author here because he doesn't leave that question unanswered. The author and finisher of our faith. Guys, if we're going to be successful this next year, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to spiritually mature this next year, we have to pursue. And that pursue literally looks like right here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It means that you are going. It means that you have to lay aside the things that are getting in the way, that are hindering you from pursuing like you should. And it means you need to hang in there and you need to have endurance. When you feel like you are getting your backside handed to you on a platter and you say, I can't go anymore. I can't deal with this anymore, whether it's your sin or somebody else's in your life that's destroying you, whatever it is, you got to hang in there. You cannot quit on Jesus because somebody else quit on you. You got to have endurance and you got to hang in there and you got to be looking at Jesus the whole time. Why? Because you know what? We draw our strength from God. We get our hope from God. I love reading about Stephen and when he was getting stoned. I don't love the fact that he was getting stoned, but I love reading about him getting stoned because what it says is that as he is getting stoned, they're trying to kill him. They're trying to take his life. And as the pressure is mounting heavier and heavier and heavier on Stephen, it says that he looked up and he's seen Jesus. The heavens opened, Jesus is standing there, and he is watching Stephen. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart. Do I have scripture to back it up? Nope. I wish I did. But I believe with all of my heart that the reason that the heavens opened up and Jesus appeared to Stephen is because Jesus was taking his pain. I do not believe for a minute that Stephen was, he understood what was going on, but I don't believe that he was feeling the pain of the stoning. And he looks up at Jesus and he says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm telling you, the heavens open and Jesus is watching. And I believe that when the pressure is on us, man, when we feel like we're going to die because the weight of all this mess and sin and junk and world and ungodly people and the evil situations that are going on, and when the pressure just starts mounting on us, I believe Jesus just shows up. But we got to be in a position to see him. And you know the sad truth is, many of us are not in the position to see Jesus when he shows up and you think he's not there. And the reason you think he's not there is because you are spiritually a baby. You're not mature. And so you're so consumed with you that you can't see him. Guys, what we got to do is know that he's there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. I desire to be with you. I desire for you to be with me. He says, if you desire, if you were to go back in Luke, if you desire to be with me, you have to pursue me. Hebrews tells us what the pursuit looks like. Guys, I'm telling you, if you don't pursue after God, you will pursue after something else. And anything other than God, Jesus Christ, is no good. There's of no benefit. And if it is a benefit, it's just temporal. It's kind of like getting high. How many used to do drugs? I said used to, so you can raise your hand. How many remember, man, you'd get high, but it was only temporal? Or you get drunk? How many used to drink? Amen. How many were just perfect angels, never did anything wrong? There you go. And you used to do this one thing, whatever it was, and you know what? It would take you to another world, but then you had to come back to reality. Anything other than Jesus may take you to another world, but for a moment, and you're going to come back to reality. And every time that I would come back to reality, it got harder and harder to deal with. And I had to escape more and more often. That means if you do that, spiritually speaking, you're going to walk away from God. And you're not going to see him. You're not going to see his blessing. You're not going to see his hand. You're not going to see him trying to take away your pain. If we're going to grow spiritually mature, this is the process. If we're going to pursue God, Hebrews is your answer. It's your direction. It's how to do it. Any other way, guys, you'll fall short. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you and love you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your love and your guidance and your direction. Lord, thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, thank you that you want to get involved in our messy lives, but you don't want our lives to stay messy. Lord, thank you for loving me enough to save me. But Lord, you didn't just leave me where I was. Lord, you pulled me out of that miry clay. You cleaned me up. And then, Lord, you told me how I should live and walk so that it would be the best benefit for me. And, Lord, that you would be glorified through that. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, for those that are here today, Lord, if they're struggling, if they've allowed things to get in the way, Lord, if there's weight on them that feels like it's crushing them, Lord, help them to get rid of it. Lord, help them to remove the weight, Lord, not just throw it out as if it's garbage, but Lord, to set back and really look at it and then to figure out the best way to handle that so that you get the glory, whatever it is, Lord. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I just want you to change that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around this morning. Listen, you're not going to have victory and success. According to the world, you might have it, but what really matters, you won't without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven. Without Jesus, you will not see the Father. It doesn't matter how good you are. It matters that you have this relationship. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, your outlook's pretty grim. But you can change it right now. Here's what you need to do. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that he conquered death and hell, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father now, that's what Romans tells us. If you believe that, then you are saved. I like to take it one step further to help you secure that decision, to help you secure that belief, to help you secure your relationship with Jesus Christ. I like to give you a moment in time that you can hold on to. And so this morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that he conquered death and hell, if you believe he's at the right hand of the Father this morning, then and you desire him to be your Savior, then you pray this prayer. Now, mind you, the prayer is not what saves you. It is the belief in your heart of who Jesus Christ is. But what the prayer does is it gives you a time stamp. The prayer gives you a time stamp where you can say, this is the day. This is the day. And so if it's your desire, you pray this prayer with me quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you conquered death and hell. I believe that you rose on the third day. And right now, I ask that you would forgive me of all my sins. Right now, I give you my life. If that's your heart today and you prayed that prayer and first time you've ever prayed it and you meant it, every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand so I could quickly rejoice with you. Amen. Anybody else? I ask Jesus to be my Savior. I surrendered today. Anybody else? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for those who raised their hand, Lord, I just pray that you would touch them and empower them and strengthen them. Lord, put a hedge of protection around about them. Lord, keep the evil one away so they have time to grow and strengthen their spiritual bones so they can fight the good fight. Lord, for those who are here today trying to fight the good fight, Lord, I pray that you would just bless them with extra energy, bless them with extra drive, with extra endurance, with extra motivation, with extra determination to just keep on keeping on, to pursue you like nothing else exists, to pursue you like you are everything, because, Lord, we know that you are. Lord, I thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.